Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. I'm John Shannon with Landon Ferraro. Landon, the coaching staff has been together for the last 4 days in Vancouver. A coaching staff is rather diverse when you think about it. Not many guys have worked together ever before. And Adam Foote has put together a group of guys that seem to have their right foot forward. It's going to be interesting to see this group. And one of the guys we're going to talk to today is Kevin Dean, a former Bruin assistant coach, a former Blackhawk assistant coach, and a former teammate of Ray Ferraro's with the Atlanta Thrashers.
It's funny how, like you say, like, you know, these guys, you know, on the coaching staff have not really been familiar with each other beforehand, you know, some mutual friends that help kind of connect. But when you look at it, like, there's so many times where you see a head coach get his job, especially his first one, and he wants to surround himself with people that he really knows and he's comfortable with. I really like the fact that they kind of, like, Adam really went and kind of found what he thought were the right people to help him get most comfortable and do the best job here. It wasn't just what he was comfortable with. It was what was going to be best for the group and what could help me push myself to get, you know, to the point he wants to be as a head coach as quickly as possible as well. And, you know, I've heard nothing but really good things about Kevin Dean and, you know, talking to, you know, Tony Granato that's around the Blackhawks a bunch. And he had nothing but unbelievable things to say, talking about his energy, how he, you know, how he works with his players, how his players like playing, you know, with him and working with him and you know, kind of going about their job that way. So I'm really excited to have the conversation with him and see, you know, see how he thinks the game and how he thinks about his job coming into Vancouver.
So the fascination for me is, I think it's probably important. Adam knows this team after being around it for the last 2 years, but Kevin, Brett McLean, Scott Young, who we've also had on the show, come with a blank slate, come with a fresh thinking approach. And it's probably, I think there's some logic to having new and fresh ideas after the frustration of last year, don't you?
I really do. And if you look at it, right, like Kevin was in Chicago playing, you know, he's in the Western Conference, he's playing against Vancouver. Brett McLean was in Minnesota, same exact thing. So not only are they new coming in and, you know, meeting all these guys and having that blank slate, but they've also been on the other side and planned to play against these players. And you look at them much differently when you're looking at them from the team that you're going to be playing against, and now you have them. And they might have seen something in watching video getting ready for those games or in the games that, you know, the coaching staff here and Adam and Scott Young being part of the organization might not have noticed or think about it the same way. So it's all these fresh ideas coming in, and out of that, you hope that they're able to really put it together and maximize, you know, what each player can do this season.
Well, without further ado, let's meet and talk to the latest addition to the coaching staff of the Vancouver Canucks, assistant coach Kevin Dean, on 100% Canucks after this.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. Landon Ferraro, John Shannon, joined by one of the newest coaches, assistant coach Kevin Dean of the Vancouver Canucks. Kevin, first of all, welcome, and tell us how you got to Vancouver through being hired by Adam Foote.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I was in the World Championships. I didn't know what was going on in Chicago when we left. They're kind of like, well, We don't want to hold anybody back. The new coach in Chicago, the new head coach, is going to be able to pick his staff. And that was kind of dragging on a little bit. And they encouraged all of us assistants to, you know, look around if we wanted to. They didn't want to hold us back. So then I was doing that, but I got a call from Adam, you know, through a good friend, Joe Sacco, who I worked with in Boston. And Adam and I had a good conversation. It just kind of snowballed from there.
Well, the interesting thing is this is a very almost an American crew of guys coaching in Canada. That's going to be a little bit of a culture change for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little different. I mean, I don't really notice it much when I go, but the more I'm there, I do notice, you know, some things. You know, people are extremely nice, you know, but the accents in Vancouver are a little bigger than they are in some other parts. But people are terrific. It's a beautiful city. It's going to be interesting with the weather. I haven't dealt with this much rain, but it should be good.
By the way, people in Vancouver don't have accents. Everybody else does.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I say about Wisconsin.
I was going to ask you there, have you already traded in all your snow gear for rain gear yet?
Well, we were out there in June and my wife and I started walking around and it was raining then. I went into a store and the guy's like, well, my suggestion is to buy a good rain jacket and just don't ever plan on it not raining. He says, so just whatever you're going to do, just go do it. And if it's raining, wear a rain jacket. So I got a good one. And
that's some good advice you got there.
Yeah.
So you have just come back from Vancouver. What would the last couple of days of meetings been doing as you prep for a training camp in September?
Well, we worked hard the last, I guess it was 3.5 days. We got in on Monday. We worked all day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we went over basically every inch to the ice and how we want to play in our systems quite a bit. And then yesterday afternoon, we got into a little bit of training camp. You know, started to talk about some drills we want to do and how we're going to break it up with the different groups and whatnot. Because the season's a little different; it's more condensed. So we're going to have to kind of get to our group quickly. We feel like in training camp, and you know, be very organized in terms of how we want to play and the drills to run to enforce those. You know, that style of play and you know the video to back it up.
How familiar are you with the other assistants? I would assume Brett and Scott were probably the two guys that you were dealing with in addition to Adam more than anyone else, correct?
Yeah, and I honestly had never met any of them before. I might have shaken hands with Scott because, you know, we live kind of in the same area and we have some friends in common, but I don't think I've ever spoken with them, never spoke with Adam. Brett and I have a good friend in common. But no, so back in June, we met for the first time and it was real easy and nice and enjoyable. And we worked hard, like I said, the last 3 days and it was great. Like, I think we have a good mix in there in terms of personalities. Everyone's eager to work and you know, get started.
And looking to training camp, like, you know, when Adam was on with us, you know, a couple months ago, you could tell how much relationships with players were very important to him. You know, you're coming in. I know you're familiar with Forbert. You had him in Boston and, you know, you've got that, but like, how do you go about when you come in and you're working with a new D group, like getting that familiarity and starting to get to know the guys?
I don't know. I like people. And I think if you're coaching, especially professional hockey, because of the grinds and the, you know, the demands on you, I think, if you don't enjoy spending time with people, you probably shouldn't get into coaching. So I just, you know, I like to talk to guys. I like to see where they're from. They're how many, you know, they have brothers and sisters. They like to fish. Do they hunt? You know, what's their, you know, kind of keep hockey out of it for a couple of weeks because they're going to get inundated with it here at training camp for 10 days. It's going to be pretty, you know, heavy handed. This is what we're doing and how to do it. So I take a more personal approach, which I enjoy anyways. You know, that's kind of my point is I want to get to know Quinn Hughes. I knew his mother. We went to school together. You know, I played with Forbert. You know, I know Jake DeBrus from Boston, Connor Garland from the World Championship. So I know some of these guys, but I try to get it, you know, start with just getting to know them a little bit personally. And I think from there, you can kind of dial in and focus a little bit more how you want to address the professional side of thing based on, you know, what I'm feeling from them, you know, as people.
We'll get back to the Canucks in a second, but what was that World Championship like when you consider it was the first American championship in, correct me if I'm wrong, 92 years?
Yeah, something like that. In 33, I don't want to do the math. Yeah, it's 92 years. It was a lot of fun, and I thought Ryan Warsofsky did a terrific job. A really good young coach. He articulates things well. He's very con a lot of conviction of how he wants to play, and he just, this is how we're going to play. Let's do it. Had a lot of fun. That's, you know, that's almost like the way hockey should be, in my opinion. Like, it's very competitive, but it's not like crazy. You're not beating up every play after the game, or, you know, you just kind of let it go and on to the next game. But it was a lot of fun, and I did like the competitive nature of it. And it's, those teams from Europe are really good, like the Swiss team, and even you know, the Norwegians had some good players. Like, it's a good level of hockey, and it's a different size rink. So I think that's why the North Americans generally don't just dominate that tournament.
Any chance you grilled Connor Garland, or did you have any sense that you might be going to Vancouver at that point?
Towards the end of the tournament, I did, yeah. And then I think maybe even by the end of it, I think I might have known. I can't remember the exact. It was right around the time the tournament ended. So yeah, I got to know him pretty well. Nice kid, good hockey player. I love how he plays on the inside. So it was good to get to know him for sure.
That's another guy from from New England as well. You know, there's a lot of New Englanders.
New England's got some good hockey.
Looking at last year a little bit, and because that'll lead into this year, but you know, the D in Chicago, like, you had quite a few young guys, and you know, everyone that I've talked to, they've said like what a good job you did with that group, especially with the young guys. Now, looking at next year, you know, there's Victor Mancini, there's Elias Pettersson, there's some young D that are going to be involved in that D core. How different is it? You know, obviously there's Quinn Hughes and he does what he does, but how different is it working with a young guy just coming into the league?
It's, yeah, well, it's very different, to your point. You know, like Derek Forbort, I'll use him as an example because I know him well. But I was dealing with him in Boston. He was probably 27 or 8 years old, been, you know, pro for 6 or 8 years. And so with him, it's a very different conversation. He knows how to be a pro. He knows the little things, preparation every day, that these young kids just don't know. Like, they don't know what they don't know. So for me, when you get kids that are that young, it's about practice habits. It's about stick habits. It's about positioning on the inside of the ice as a defenseman, you know, working from the inside of the ice to the outside of the ice. It's those basic fundamentals that young kids, I think, need to learn to be able to thrive. And then with older players, it's just more tweaking, you know, smaller things in their game, and, you know, getting to play within the system, and, you know, managing their mood and their, you know, their, you know, stuff like that. But young kids, it's going to be, you know, thumb on them a little bit. You know, these are the fundamentals that you have to have. You got to play inside the dots. You got to lead with your stick. You got to box out around the net. You got to get your shots through, or they get down to below the goal line. So it's just kind of, it's a very different conversation, to your point. And in Chicago, that's, it got a little frustrating, not because the kids are, I think they're all really good young players, but you're just worried so much about their habits that you're not focusing on what the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, should be doing at that time. Where this year it's going to be a little bit more, you know, this is how we're, you know, Vancouver is going to get some wins, you know, if we do this, this, and this. And you got to assume and help them, you know, that they got those fundamentals in the back pocket already.
Well, with Philip Hronek and Quinn, as you talked about, and Marcus Pedersen, you're starting off with a pretty good group of veteran players, aren't you?
Yeah, we really are. And I know, you know, everyone I've talked to within the organization is excited about the D Corps. They like the D Corps. I think they got a really good mix of personalities too. I know they've gone on a golf trip this summer. They like to hang out. I think that matters. You know, Forbort, Hronek, Pettersson, Hughes, you know, they got some, and Myers, right? Don't forget Tyler. Like, he's been around forever, and he's, you know, great player too. So and I think they enjoy each other, like truly enjoy getting together and helping each other out. So that's a good start, and, you know, kind of handle the ups and downs of the season together to get through it.
When did you, by the way, you talked about teaching the young guys like you did in Chicago. When did you learn it as a pro after you were drafted by the Devils?
It took a while. Couple years in Utica, I struggled. I couldn't get my foundation. I was weak, didn't skate real well. I don't think my habits were there to back that up, to get me over the hump. And then we had a lockout 1 year. Must have been 94, 95. And Larry Robinson came down to Albany like almost every day, which was just, it was incredible. First of all, he's a great guy and he's fun to be around. But then just those little details of stick position and feet position and body position were unbelievable. And for whatever reason, I kind of took off that year, and was able to make the transition to the NHL. But a lot of that was through Larry, and just again those little things that he was harping on every day. And those are kind of the things I'm trying to, with young players especially, trying to, instill in them early.
That was actually the year that you won the Calder Cup
Yeah.
and the Stanley Cup in the same year, correct? You and Sergei
Yeah.
Bruin, if I Sergei Bruin was
Yeah.
in the group, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sergey was, yeah, he's great. Great player. He was great.
That's a pretty good year for yourself right there.
Yeah, it went on forever, it seemed like, because a lockout, we won the Calder Cup in normal time, which I don't know, maybe middle of June. And then I went up and played some games in the conference finals because they were staggered differently that year because of the lockout. So went up and played some games. I don't think I got home until July. It was, I mean, it was a lot of fun for sure, but it was a long year.
How would you describe your game?
My game? Boring. Pedestrian. In a word, pedestrian. So I was kind of a stay home, make a first pass, good stick, good body position kind of guy. Wasn't exceptionally heavy. I think I competed pretty hard, but in today's game, I'm a fifth or sixth defenseman at best on any decent team.
So I reached out to Lou Lamoriello, who I know well, and obviously you know well, and I asked him, tell me a little bit about you. The thing that he highlighted more than anything, which I think is probably an indication of what kind of coach you are, he said he knew why the name on the player is on the back and the logo is on the front. And you understood that as well as anybody.
Yeah, he creates that environment as well. He does a nice job with that, with not the rules he has, but just the way he builds the team. Like, he never had the big superstars there. He never really chased it, right? So I think he kind of always had that mindset when you're in Jersey, to begin with. But yeah, I think he probably gets that because we had a conversation after we won the cup, and he's like, "What was it like? What were you thinking?" And I was thinking, well, when I got into the conference finals, I just didn't want to screw up. Like, because the year before they lost to the Rangers in seven games, if you remember, and the Rangers went on to beat
Sure.
Vancouver in seven games. And I watched
You don't
that, and
bring
it was
that up, you don't bring that up when you go back to Vancouver.
no, good point. But I watched how heartbroken they were after that Rangers series. And so the next year we're in the same spot, and I went into that conference finals for the first time. And my whole mindset was like, I am not going to let, Danico Stevens, Johnny McClain, Neil Broughton, these guys that have been doing this and getting their teeth kicked in, for 15 years. I'm not going to be the one that let them down. And so that was just kind of my mentality when I went in there, and I got through it pretty well.
Landon?
So, like, you finish your playing career, and I'm always curious with, guys that are coaching now, was it something you had always thought about doing while you were playing? I know you looked, I think, about 6, 7 years between you stopped playing and when you started coaching, but was that always something that was in the back of your mind, or did that come to you after a few years out?
No, the last year I played, I was living at my home in Madison. I was commuting to Milwaukee to play, and I kind of knew it was going to be my last year. So I started making some calls, in March and April when I'm driving back and forth an hour every day. College coaches, I couldn't really do the pro thing yet because I'm still playing. But and that's, that after the season, I started making some calls. But as you know, it's like it's hard to get in, and no one really, oh, we don't have room or whatever. I had three young kids and maybe another one on the way. So I tried to get in, but nothing really happened. And then I think three, like you said, 3 or 4 years later, Lou called in the middle of nowhere, from out of nowhere, and just said, "You want to come to Lowell?" And I just had our fourth baby, and she was like 3 months old. My wife Jill is just battling every day. I'm, got a new job, and I'm like, "Jill, what do you think? I'd love to do it." And she's great. She's like, "Absolutely, let's do it." She'd never been in New England, so we went out there, took a look, and so I did want to do it, but I wasn't obsessed with it. I was, trying to raise a family and have a job. But when Lou called, I jumped at the opportunity pretty quickly.
What was that non-hockey job?
It was a telecom business. We were pulling voice and data cables for small businesses and phone systems and sound systems. A world away from what I'm doing now. Pretty boring.
Coaching's easy.
Yeah, right. It was hard. It was hard. Talk about getting their teeth kicked in every day. It's
The one thing I wonder is, is it was coaching, you think, always in your DNA? Was it always somewhere when you at the end of your veteran career, did you think this was just the natural progression?
Yeah, I had it in the back of my mind. And again, I do like people, right? So I like to talk and communicate and help people. So I had my hands full with my own career when I was in the NHL. Like I wasn't going to have a lot of time and energy to put towards other players and helping them because I had enough on my plate with my own game. But my last year, I played back in the American League, and I did enjoy helping younger kids because I was about 31 or 2 at the time, and you're helping a 20, 21-year-old. I enjoyed it. And that's when I first kind of, not first, but that's when I was like, yeah, this might be something for me. But it certainly didn't, jump off the table right at me right away.
So I got a pretty hard-hitting question here. You as the coach, you have the D core of the Vancouver Canucks this year, or would you take the D core from the inaugural Atlanta Thrashers D that you were a part of?
That's a great question. I can't remember most of the decor from the Atlanta Thrash. Would I take left winger Ray Ferraro though? But I would definitely take the Vancouver defenseman. Yeah, we had God, I can't remember. We had Bozak, we had a Tanner kid from Michigan. We didn't have a lot of like standout guys. Shannon was a pretty good player for us. We had some good players for sure, but I would definitely take the Canucks D right now. Quinn Hughes. I'd take
Wow.
Quinn Hughes and the rest of
Well, you know, that's why you're a smart coach by doing that. Holy smokes. I was just looking at the list here. Yannick Tremblay, Peter Bouzek, Daryl Shannon, Gord Murphy, Chris Tamer.
Oh, Tamer. Yeah, I said Tanner. Tamer, yep.
Chris Tamer, Frantisek Kaberle, Thomas's older
Yeah.
brother. David Harlock, holy smokes. Yeah, that was
Yeah.
now there's talk that hockey's coming back to
I
Atlanta again.
know. I know. It's I mean they're not I don't want to say 0 for 2, but two teams have gone there and left. I'm surprised by that. Is it's a kind of a different city, right? It's a little more transient than some other cities, so I don't know if the fan base really gets behind it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the way they're discussing it, it's going to be more successful in the suburbs than it is going to be downtown. That was a tough place.
Yeah.
That was always a tough place to get to when you.
Yeah. Oh, we had a tough go when we got there. They're like, well, our practice rink's up north in Duluth. Our airport's going to be up north near Duluth, Peachtree Airport or something was called. We have our own plane. And then they got there and our plane couldn't land at that airport. So now the only thing we were doing up north where we all lived was practicing, but we had to fly out, play all the games down in Atlanta. And with the traffic is there, it's terrible. It was a tough first inaugural year, I think.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that plane, especially the first year, was the nickname not the trash can?
Yeah, I think that might have been your dad gave it that name. It was a
Oh,
boxy plane for sure.
man. You have made a career of coaching now, but not as much head coaching. Is that still in your wish list, or have you decided that you can be a better contributor to a team's success in a role that you have now?
I mean, it's something I would definitely look at. I don't know if I want to chase it.
Right.
I would say that the year I enjoyed most was the 1 year I was a head coach in Providence. I really enjoyed it. But until recently, I had 3 kids in high school or younger, and you start chasing going down that road. I don't know. You know what I mean? So I was more just happy where I was in Providence as an assistant head, and then happy in Boston as an assistant. So I've been always happy in that role. Would I look at a head coach job? Absolutely. But I don't know if I want to go down the road of chasing it. And I think if I really want to get in that mix, I probably need to go back to the American League as a head coach. And I like what I'm doing now. So I just don't know if I want to, go down that road at 56 years old.
There's a difference between the Holiday Inn Express and the Ritz.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The food, which is a problem. But yeah, it's great.
What'd you learn from Jacques Lemaire?
A lot. Just in terms of coaching, I don't know. He's just so simple and direct. And he doesn't overcomplicate the game. And I think his fundamentals that he coached in 95 are still the same fundamentals. And you see it with Florida last year. You play on the inside, you win puck battles, you get to the net, Florida doesn't have a lot of fluff in their game, and that's the way Jocks teams were in Jersey. In the late 90s, there was no fluff. And that's kind of what I learned. And then as far as a coach, like he's just, like I said, he's direct. He's not the guy who's going to come up and talk to you all day over coffee, but when you do talk to him, he's quick to smile. He doesn't want to talk about hockey all day. He's a wonderful guy. I haven't seen him in about 20 years. I'd love to catch up with him again, but I enjoyed, playing under him for sure.
Would that have been would he have been the most influential guy other than Larry Robinson?
Yeah, I would say those two, and then Robbie Fatorik. I had the American League for a few years, and I'm not the only one that feels this way. I've talked to some guys. He's an amazing minor league coach. His energy was just through the roof every day in a great, positive way. Very positive coach, and he was really good at that level of getting each player to understand, like, if you want to play at the next level, this is what you need to do. Because that's the problem that so many young kids have is their identity. Like, they all come in to pro hockey and they've been the best player in their junior team, their college team, and so they think they're going to be the offensive guy or whatever. And there's a kind of a disconnect between where their career is probably going. You don't want to pigeonhole them, but and where they, realistically are, and so and where they think they are. So Robbie was really good at just, Kevin, this is what I think you got to do. And he would say it like that. This is what I think you have to do. Kind of leaving it up to me to make that decision and not beat me over the head with it. But he did it in a really good way. And I think he put a lot of kids into New Jersey in those, 3 or 4 or 5 years he was down in Albany. Did a good job.
So again, like looking at this year, you're coaching in Chicago last year. You're obviously you're playing against Vancouver. You're watching games and watching tape, getting ready for those. Like, what are you most excited about with the group that you have this year coming into Vancouver to work with? Obviously, there's the Quinn Hughes and Hronik and everything, but like as a whole, what do you think some of their strongest points are that you can really help feed off of?
Well, and we had a discussion yesterday with the analytics department that were in our meetings. We have a good foundation of defending, like the defending and the penalty killing. I know the penalty killing was really good last year. The defending's been good for a number of years, and that's a good place to start, right? So I know last year, we struggled to score at times. So, I feel like if you have that foundation of defending, and now we want to tilt it to scoring a little bit, we can focus on that. You don't lose that foundation overnight. Like, it's there, right? So let's take that and let's talk about, creating offense more. So it's going to be exciting. I think that's going to be exciting to work on the offensive side of things, because I haven't really been on a team recently that's done that. Like Boston, we were very defensive oriented. Chicago, we're just trying to, basically learn the league, right? The players. So this year it's going to be fun to take that defensive, core that we have in the back end, some really good, forwards that can play defense, like the, Höglanders and, Blugers and these guys. And then, try to tweak things, play a little bit faster, stretch out a little bit more. We had long discussions about our, our net drives and the line rushes. So to try to tweak this thing on the offensive side a little bit, it's going to be interesting and fun to see. If we can move the needle there, because if we can, I think we're going to be, very competitive again.
Is that why camp is so important right out of the gate for this group?
Yeah, and camp is going to be huge this year because we just looked at the schedule yesterday. I think there's like 3 or 4 days of the whole month of October we can even practice with travel and stuff. You have back-to-backs. You can't, practice the next day. You have travel. It's going to be really. We have 2 afternoon games, so you can't really. It's going to be difficult to get our practices in. So we want to be really focused and dialed in, on September 20th when we hit the ice, so that we can start working on these things right away and get off to
By
a
the
good
way,
start.
you're the number five team in the NHL when it comes to miles traveled this season. You're going to be close to 50,000 miles.
We're number five. We're not number one.
No, Edmonton is worse, believe it or not.
Really? Yeah, I can see that, but that surprises me. I saw there was a something on Reddit or something that showed our flights. Did you see that? Where our plane's going to go for the whole year. It's crazy when you look at it like that.
Certainly different than when you're with the Bruins.
Yes. Yeah. It was like an hour every night you're back. You land by 11:45, most nights. It's a little different.
So again, like as you head into training camp, and not to get into too many details of it, but like how do you go about setting up your camp, right? Like it's just something I've always been really interested in, and the fact of you have all these guys coming in, and you know the majority of them are going to back to their junior team after short order or heading into the American League camp. Like, how do you organize to try and maximize your time?
Yeah, and well, Patrick was a big part of that discussion yesterday, and this year's gonna be a little different. I think we're gonna get to our 23, 25 players more quickly because of the condensed schedule and the lack of practice time. So, you want to create some competition within your group because I think that ultimately raises the level of everybody. So you don't want to just hand guys jobs, right? But there's gonna be a job. There's gonna be a job on the third pair. I don't want to even say the third pair, but there's probably going to be a job somewhere for a young defenseman, right? Because you look at the group, you got five pretty solid guys. Six and seven are going to be, there's going to be some competition there. So you want to let the young Pettersson, Mancini. I think there's a, like, I don't want to say the right kid's name, I'll say it wrong, but there's going to be some competition there, and there's going to be similar positions up front that need to be competed for in the on the fourth line, third and fourth line. You want that competition. So you got to invite those kids and you got to get them into camp and get a good look at them. But at the same point, when things start trending one way or another, you got to have to shorten it out and get down to your group so you can really focus, because reps are important in practice too. And if you have 28 guys on a practice or 30 guys, it's too many, right? Like, Phil Hronek, Quinn Hughes, and Elias Pettersson all need their reps too, right? So if you get too many guys, it's problematic as well. So you got to create competition through the right numbers with the right people. And then when those things start to trend, I think you got to cut it down. And we talked about that and getting in our group, a little bit earlier than usual so that we can get our reps.
How important is it that Abbotsford plays the same way?
Well, we talked about that yesterday too, which is, I think it's very important because, when those guys get called up, a lot of times they're penalty killers and they're checkers. Like you want them to be, seamless in their transition into the big club, right? So, but that being said, things are different down there, and Manny obviously does a terrific job. But it'd be nice if they played exactly like us, but personnel dictates that, right? And you got to respect Manny's situation too, and he's got to have a little freedom to tweak things now and then. But I think the nuts and bolts of it need to be pretty similar to the big club.
Last question to you, Lennon.
Well, honestly, just to follow that up, because like you said, your favorite one of your favorite years was head coach in Providence, so you were in that position exactly. And like, how hard is it when you're talking to a young player in the American League and you're trying to explain, like, I need you to do this here, but that's not going to be the same job you have once you get up to the
Okay.
NHL? Like, how do you go about dealing with that and trying to, walk them through it while still having them buy into the American League side?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would frame it, like this is what we're gonna do here, but you probably won't do it there. I think it's good for every player to learn both sides of the puck early. And I had Jake as a rookie the year I was in Providence. Jake DeBrusk was first year player, and he might have just been like, he was young, like just maybe 19 turning 20. And we decided that it would be good for him to kill penalties because his game was such at that time. I see it now and again, like he can be tilted offensively. We just thought it'd be good to ingrain some defensive habits into him and stick position, all that stuff. So we made him a penalty killer right out of the gate. And I think that's, we never said, well, you're not going to kill in Boston, but we want you to kill here. It's just like, let's learn how to kill. I think it's another way to get more ice time. The coach's confidence, the more you play, the more you're going to develop, the more quickly you're going to develop. So you kind of frame it that way. And I'll use Jake as an example. He killed penalties in Providence for us, did a great job. He ended up killing in Boston. And he killed a little bit in Vancouver, right? I think we're gonna bring him in a little bit more this year. So I just think it's good for even a kid that is probably not gonna, even Quinn Hughes, like he's not gonna start in the American League or didn't. But if he was, I think it'd be good for him to kill penalties there, even though he's not gonna kill him here. It's just, why not? You learn both sides of the puck, a little respect for that side of the game for your. You look down the bench and you got some, third pair guy or fourth line guy that's 6'4", gets his teeth kicked in every night by blocking shots and, getting beat up on the wall. Well, it's good for a skilled guy to learn how to appreciate that too, because he's been there and he's had to block that shot or he's had to get into that wall battle. and get the puck out, right? So you get you respect the game more, I think, if you've gone through it all.
Well, listen, I know you took the red eye home to just out in southern Maine, and we appreciate the time on this Friday, and good luck in Vancouver, and welcome to the Canucks.
Well, I look forward to meeting you guys, and I appreciate it. Anytime.
That's Kevin Dean. Landon and I will be back after this on 100% Canucks. You know, I was being a little coy when I said when you start with Roenick, Hughes, and Tyler Myers, and Marcus Pedersen, you're starting with a pretty good poker hand, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say if you're coming into a new job and you have those four sitting there,
Those are the top four, right? I would.
you would assume, right? Like they've proven themselves, and I'm saying talking about Quinn Hughes and Hronas especially, but like Myers had, from a couple seasons ago when Tocchet first came in and Adam Foote first came in. Like he had that resurgence, and he's been a very good defender for the Vancouver Canucks. And then they make the trade and they bring Marcus Pedersen in. And my God, does he take up a lot of ice, especially in the D zone. He's tall, but with that stick, he knows how to use it. He knows how to really close up space, and he's mobile enough to do that. And now you start throwing in some of those young guys. Like it's a very appealing decor and something that you could tell Kevin is, pretty excited about getting in and working with.
I wanted to lobby. I didn't. I wasn't going to do it. But I think Mancini's going to be a. And you saw him a lot in Abbotsford in the playoffs. I really like this young guy. I liked him when he played for the Rangers, and was being given a really good opportunity to play on that with that group of defensemen. And when you include at that point, Keandre Miller and Adam Fox. So I think Mancini's one of those guys that, with all the trades that the Canucks made last year, people are going to look back and say that Mancini was a great addition.
Yeah, I mean, again, like another massive human, but in saying that, he can make plays like a smaller guy. Like him going back and retrieving pucks, because he's got that big frame, he's able to get the forechecker on his back and hold him off, but he's shoulder checking and seeing where that little pop play is to his center coming low or his D partner, and he's able to make those little slip plays, and like that's already impressive. But then you add in his mobility, and some of those times he'd get the forechecker on his back and in that Abbotsford run, and he'd kind of look, and you could almost just see it in his eyes, because you can see it more with the young guys where they're like, oh, I got a bit of space here. And he makes his tight turn and he takes two strides and he separated himself 6, 7 feet already. Like he gets up the ice extremely well. And as Kevin was talking about, there's a really good base of defense here already, and now trying to look, how do we add more of that offense? How do we stretch things out? Well, a player like Mancini and how he's able to use his mobility and size, like that's another player that can really help you do that as well. As if he keeps taking steps like he did, even just in the short time that he was in Vancouver and finishing with Abbotsford, like he took some really big steps there. And again, just to add on to it, because I'm such a fan, but Elias Pettersson, like he has that kind of old school mean streak in him. And so now you have these two young players, one's a bit more offensive than the other, one's a bit meaner than the other. They can play off each other great as they kind of work in and out of the lineup. But again, like that's a really strong point of this team in Vancouver, and I'm really excited to see how that all comes together as a decor.
And don't forget, they got P.O. Joseph coming
They
into
do, and
the
as we
camp
keep
too.
going down the line, sorry, but Kirill Kudryavtsev as well. Like,
At least you can
he's
say
got a
it.
bit of
You
what,
can say
sorry?
it. You can say it. Kevin was having a tough time saying it.
Oh, it was because I had to say it 37 times before I got to that first game I did in Abbotsford, making sure I had it right. But the way that he played down in Abbotsford, especially through that playoff run, you learn his name quick because of his play. And he's going to be obviously a bit more of a long shot. He's going to be that guy that's, he's going to be starting in Abbotsford, but he's going to play games this year. He's going to be part of that group one way or another. But again, like as you go through it, like there's a lot to be excited about. You have some, one of the best defensemen in the league, followed by some very good veterans. And then you have these young kids that are coming in as well that are going to be pushing, as Kevin was talking about, that competition, in the 6-7 spot. Well, if you're having a fight in for the 6-7 spot, that starts pushing number five as well, and that just keeps trickling on up the ladder. So, I mean, it's a really healthy place for this team to start from training camp.
Well, and Kevin kind of hinted at it with the travel and the compacted schedule. You know darn well that injuries are going to be a fact of life for this team and actually any team in the NHL. And therefore, depth on the blue line is going to be very important. So you're not going to be surprised by the time the regular season ends, heck, even by the Olympic break, that we haven't seen 9 or 10 defensemen play for the Vancouver Canucks.
And the best part about that is in years past, I think it was a bit more of, oh, by the way, we haven't even mentioned Tom Welander out of this.
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion. Does this take pressure on making Welander a regular on the big roster? Does that allow them to nurture him a little bit more?
I think it does enable them to show, because it's not talking about players, 7 years ago we were in this position, and look what happens if you go down and play a little bit and gain, just learn the pro game, even if it's for a month, just for a little bit. Like they can go to guys that are directly fighting with him for spots and show, okay, we could keep you here. Like maybe he has a great camp. We could keep you here, but you're going to be that 6-7 guy that's going in and out of the lineup for the first little bit, or go down, really get some minutes under your belt, carry a blue line, play the power play, like really work at your game, and then come back in just like Elias Pettersson did last year. He goes down, he comes back up. Well, before you know it, they couldn't take him out of the lineup
Right.
because he was that ready. That's not a bad blueprint to follow either.
No, you're right. I mean that becomes the classic conundrum for coaches and management. Do you want a guy playing 9 minutes every third game in the NHL or 23 minutes every night in the AHL to prepare himself for the future, right? That
Yeah,
becomes the key.
exactly.
All right, Landon, another show done. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
That's Landon Farrar. I'm John Shannon. Thanks for listening or watching 100% Canucks.